International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Five, four, three, two, one. Well, hello, powerful creator, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And today I am broadcasting from beautiful springtime Atlanta, Georgia. Guess what? I'm so grateful, so thankful, so appreciative that you have tuned in today. And I believe that the spirit has attracted you here. I want you to open up your heart, open up your mind, open up your spirit to receive exactly what you've been searching for. Well, it is a beautiful springtime day here in the ATL. I have had a great week, really enjoying the springtime weather here. We have beautiful dogwood trees in the spring, and I have just immensely enjoyed walking during the mornings, smelling and looking at the beautiful trees. Anybody, an entrepreneur in the house, you've been thinking about it? Well, I have a powerful guest, Mr. Preston Brown. He's going to be talking to you about entrepreneurship. What are the stages of entrepreneurship, how to serve clients, how to become wealthy. He's going to give you some great insight into millionaire mindset secrets. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. I think he makes about $200 million a year, if not more, if I recall. Well, I want to remind you about my 30-day Imagination Challenge. How is that going for you? Well, somebody sent me an email and I want to answer really quickly that they have a hard time imagining. I just want to say, write out what you want first, because when you're writing, you got to think about it first, right? As you're writing, you'll begin to see it in your mind and practice just maybe one ideal thing over and over and over again. Sometimes it's a lot easier if I write something out first and then imagine it in my mind. I think you got to decide what's the best time of day for you to use your imagination. For me, it's usually in the afternoons and in the evening. So I hope that helps you. What else? If you want my free ebooks, 7 Steps to Manifesting Your Dreams, go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And I have designed it so beautifully for you to receive absolutely free. While you're on my website, check out my coaching. You guys already know about my coaching. I am a seasoned coach, over 10,000 clients during my career. Would love to serve you, assist you, guide you in creating your best life. You know, nobody makes it alone. What else do I want to say? I think that is it. I want to hear about some of your manifestations. And if you would love to come on the show to share some things that you have manifested and how the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show has really changed your life, email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And remember, the Law of Attraction Radio Network is just the number one place, you know, on the internet to really get really outstanding, factual, inspirational, informative, Law of Attraction resources, information, and inspiration. I think That is it. I just want you to remember that the love of spirit surrounds you, that you're one with spirit. All of your thoughts, God understands them, all of your feelings and emotions. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that said God cares for us, and the spirit wants to give you and serve you. So no matter what you're going through today, as you listen to the show, just remember that you are surrounded by love, that love is on the inside of you, that it's not outside of you, that the greatest power that created the universe is not outside of you, but it's inside. And it's in stillness that you tap into this powerful force. All right, everybody, let's take a deep breath in. Let it out. One last time. Let it out. I'm going to be right back with my very special guest. Stay tuned.
Are you feeling stuck? Are you ready to live a life beyond your wildest dream? Constance Arnold is a seasoned and experienced professional licensed counselor for 25 years and a certified success life coach, and would love to partner with you to create your dreams. She's coached and trained over 10,000 clients on 5 continents and has a proven track record of success. Constance will assist you in getting a clear vision for your life and develop customized strategies, projects, and action steps to begin manifesting your dream. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com and visit her website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, everybody, I'm back, and you better put your seatbelt on. We have a baller in the house. I mean, this man is so awesome. I don't even know if I have enough time to even tell you about who he is. But all of my entrepreneurs, I want you to wake up, open up your heart, open up your spirit, because I believe that you're going to hear exactly what you need for today. But you know, the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And this man is certainly due honor. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. Preston Brown, he's a speaker, serial entrepreneur. He's a disruptive innovator. Have you ever heard that? I said he's raw and gives it to you straight, no chaser. He's the real deal, eight-figure entrepreneur. He is a force to be reckoned with, and he's a sought-after speaker, a true visionary, and is a master of business automation. So, just a little bit about him. At a very young age, he knew he was all of that, and he just fearlessly launched his own business. And he left college and he made more money than his former professors. And he's just always been very audacious, and I would say fearless, to really move in what he believed. He has a powerful story about how his dad impacted his choices, and we're going to hear about that. But he has an astounding 18 thriving businesses, maybe more by now, already under his belt. He's consistently shattering records, and he has a jaw-dropping 200 million or more in gross revenues each and every year. But you know, in spite of all of that, y'all, I listen to him on social media. He's very kind, he's very generous. He wants to serve the world and help others. So we are very blessed to have him here. So Preston Brown, with your bad self, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you, Constance. What an honor. And I would only argue actually with one thing you said.
Which is?
I am absolutely not fearless. I'm glad perceptionally that way on the outside, but no, I'll tell you what, anybody who tells you they are fearless should also say they are dishonest. I
I
think
was going
I
to ask you that
probably.
question.
What's
I was
that?
going to ask you that question. How do you become fearless if you're an entrepreneur?
I don't think you do. I think you know, and we're probably going to dive deeper into an interesting topic here, but like I think God and his infinite wisdom didn't screw up. He he created men and women very, very uniquely and very interestingly, right? Like there's two, I think, greater meanings of life. One is love. Like we come here and, you know, you started with kind of a biblical reference, so I don't mind if you, or okay. I hope you don't mind if I take
way. No, that's where I live. Go ahead.
I love it. I believe that when God created us, he you know, I always look for like the purpose of life, the meaning of life, like what's it all about, right? And if you look at women, probably the dominant hormone in a woman's body is oxytocin. Like if you all get pregnant, you're gonna have more oxytocin pumped through your system at that point than a man will ever experience. Well, oxytocin, that hormone, delivers the feeling of love. And if we came from heaven, where everything was infinite, where everything was there, where being in awe and reverence and everything else was easy and simple, that's in the infinite. Then we come down to the finite. I believe that part of the purpose of life is learning how to love despite challenges. Well, the other hormone that God put into our bodies, like and in all of us, we all have oxytocin. But the other one is this progress hormone, this results-oriented hormone, this testosterone hormone that seems to be the dominant hormone in men, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at men and like masculinity, we're all about like, gotta accomplish this, gotta get this thing done. Well, if oxytocin is the love hormone, testosterone is very much the fear hormone. Mm-hmm. I'm scared of this happening, so I need to accomplish this so that it doesn't. I need to get ahead of this problem. And so, you know, if you want to understand God, since you started there, and I love that. You know, God's a paradox. Everything about, you know, truth always ends up in a paradox because we're finite and we can't understand anything or everything, right? So like, here's a fun question on God. Can God create a rock so big that God could not lift the rock? And the answer is, of course, yes. And the answer is, of course, also no. And it's a paradox. That's why faith is required, right? And so when we look at men and women, you've got this love hormone and you've got this results hormone. Well, that results hormone is only there for fear. Like, I think if you are not fearful, then you're either a narcissist or a psychopath or there's something wrong in your machine because obviously there's fear. Like, I think fear is probably one of the dominant emotions that people feel in life. It's not about whether you have it or not. It's about what you do with it when you have it. Some people are going to cower and they're going to run away or they're going to freeze. Other people are going to step up. They're going to take action. Right. And so I like to say, Constance, I'm scared shitless almost every morning, but then I spend my hour, you know, kind of my tune hour. It's part of my, I guess, routine, if you want. I go sit in a hot tub and I go think. I do my thinking time. I do my meditation. I do my praying. And I don't do the praying that most people do at church these days, which I think is akin to begging. I go ask God if he'll take my fear so that I can be whoever he intended me to be that day for the rest of the day without fear. It's called giving up. You know, we associate giving up as like a bad thing. What if giving up was giving it up to God? If I have that fear and I direct it to God, like, think about almost every reference in the Bible. There are only a few people that God ever spoke to that didn't fall down trembling. Everyone else did. Was there a holy fear? Like, what if I could have that holy fear, that awe, that love, that falling down trembling, giving all my problems to him and then running forward? But no, I mean, I wake up scared every day. I look around and I think, you know, 150, I think, plus or minus employees now. And one thing goes wrong. What if I fail then? You know, we had a $12 million debt problem last year that was, thank God, not big enough to topple us. But I thought about it so much because I'd never had a problem so big. And we had a lot more debt. We had a narcissistic land developer, lied, cheated, misled everybody, embezzled a lot of funds. We built, you know, a good $20, $30 million worth of houses in that area. And then the city shut it down and we couldn't sell them. So we have $12 million in debt and I either have to go pay it off or syndicate it out or something, or sue the guy and figure out how to work through it. I never had a problem that big. Had I had a problem that big 5 years ago, it would have crushed me.
Wow.
Now I can carry it, but the problem was also a gift. It was a lesson. It was a teacher. And as I've carried it over the last 6-8 months, we're right about to where it looks like it might be finished. It might be completed, but it was this humbling moment. It scared the crap out of me. It forced me to give it back to God, to say, hey, you know what, God, I trust you. Like, whatever your will is, like, yeah, you can take whatever you want. Funny enough, as soon as I gave up, everything stopped being taken and more started being given back. But you got to give the fear up. So I ain't fearless.
I'm going to drop the mic on that. Where is my mic? Right here. That is such a powerful beginning because you really answered my question, because I have questions from entrepreneurs all over the world that I wanted to ask you. And my first question was, how do entrepreneurs deal with fear and bring in more faith? But you already answered that.
Love it.
Wow. So tell our listeners a story about the role that your dad played in you becoming an entrepreneur. And do you believe that God is the one to put this immense ability and drive and just the audaciousness to move out? Do you feel like that's God in you moving through you?
Sometimes. And, okay. And then sometimes it's my ego. I mean, I'm a flawed person like anyone else. Like the audaciousness, sometimes I can give credit to God when it goes in the right direction. And sometimes I, you know, have to take credit for myself when it goes in the wrong direction.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, and going back to the initial point, I'll share my story, but let's preface it with the points. Like if life is about, you know, understanding how to fear and love and progress to a finite reality, like that paradox of the infinite becomes to the finite, goes back to the infinite. Like God said, I made you in my image, right? Like, well, do we think he is Zeus on a cloud with a lightning bolt that made us look like him? Or do we think maybe he is a community of souls and we are a community of cells? Interesting how that kind of paradigm fits, right? And so, like, I think your problems are your gifts. I think the exact part of life that was your problems are your gifts. And so with that, I'll kind of break into the story. Like my first and one of the largest problems in my life, and this is something we all have in common. We all have problems in common, right? Like there's two things that equalize people: time, and we all have problems. Mm. And when I was 7, 8 years old, my dad, we grew up very poor, a little trailer park in Canyon, Texas. It's this little, I don't know, shit shack outside of El Paso that nobody would ever want to live in. And my dad wanted the life we watched on TV, not the one we had. I mean, he wanted that middle class American dream, home, all this stuff. And of course, the way to do that back then was a small business. Now it's probably join Congress. But back then it was open a small business and become successful. And so he did that, but he didn't have all the fundamentals. He didn't know some of the things he needed. And, you know, poor folks run out of money real quick. And my family had an abundance of love. Like they were amazing. Like my mom, my dad, everybody, it was beautiful family, but we weren't that wise on money. And he didn't know how to bill, collect, or charge. And you run out of money fast enough and any good woman's going to freak out. My mom did. There was the fight. The frying pan gets thrown across the room and everyone is now giving her the attention. You know, we're all paying attention, right?
Right.
And I don't remember every word she said or yelled, but I do remember a real man can feed his family. And I got to drive up with my dad in his old Ford truck to a house not far from where I live now. And, you know, my dad, all of 6'4", my hero. Like this man was badass. Member of Men's Club, brilliant, beautiful human being. He walks up to this guy all of 5'9". I think he was a lawyer, a banker. I don't remember what he did, but it was some kind of service job, like this short, pudgy guy. And I was like, man, my dad can kill this guy with a napkin. Like, you know, we're going to get our money. We're going to leave. It's going to be fine. And of course, stories don't end that way. Like my dad demanded and it turned to asking and it turned into compromising and not quite begging. I mean, he was still a man, but it ended with this guy taking a wad of cash out of his pocket, far less than he was owed. My dad was owed thousands. And we went to the Smiths at the time, Albertsons now, and brought back ramen noodles, which I got to ride with on my lap. And the real net effect of that is my dad, I watched my hero get compromised. And for 7-year-old, 8-year-old boy, I'm sitting there realizing this small, weak man had so much power over my big, powerful father. And he was breaking him. And I watched even more so over the next, you know, few weeks as my dad shut down his business. He stopped working a little shed next to our trailer. He went out and he got a job. He gave up on his dreams. I watched how one man who my dad could have killed with a napkin forced my dad to give up his dreams. And I got this emotion, this feeling of absolute hatred, which seeded and it only deepened as time went on. But I mean, I, you know, at 7 or 8 years old, like with the video games and the Mario Kart where you're shooting a little gun and all that. Mm-hmm. Went through my head, I could have killed that man. Like I had, maybe it was a righteous anger or maybe it was hatred, but I watched this man cheat my dad. And sins of the father, sins of the son, good biblical reference there too, huh? I learned it was not love that was the meaning of life. I learned that it was money that was the meaning of life. I now think that's wrong, but that carried throughout my entire life until I was 2019. I was, I'm 41 now, so whenever the heck that was, right? 4 or 5 years ago. I'm not very good on that. And I lived as just this corporate taker. I lived as this guy. You thought Donald Trump was too tough or his language was too rough. I made him look like a dream. I was a crap father, crap husband, but I was a good businessman. I knew how to go in there, rip up a company, like build a dominant structure, like take out the competition. And I didn't care because it was all about money. There was no love. I didn't know how to feel love. Mm. I had lost that at 7 years old. Well, in 2019, my dad sat in his favorite chair. He went to sleep and he went home. He didn't wake up that time. And I wasn't there. I got the call from my brother-in-law later that night. And he said, hey, dude, you need to come over. Your dad's gone. Mm. And I felt my whole body sink. And it had been a weird day already. Like something was so off that day. Like energetically, I don't know if you ever get this, but like energetically, it was wrong. The world was wrong that day. And like, so when I get this call, I already knew what he meant. I still asked the question. I was like, where'd he go? But I knew that what he meant was way worse. I drove over there and I saw the body that used to be dad and laying on the floor there. And it didn't even look like him. It was weird. It didn't even look the same. And I saw my family broken all around me. And I got this fear again. But for me, when it's fear, you know, I think there's two real emotions. There's a positive emotion and a negative emotion, right? Emotion equals energy and motion. And fear for me manifests in hate. It manifests in I need to step up and conquer. You know, I think religion it's a beautiful thing. It's a great way to avoid hell. But the spirituality and why there is a Holy Spirit, that's going there, conquering the shit and coming back victorious. Okay. Yeah. I like to bring the spirituality to my Christianity. And I take every emotion as good, even the emotion of hate. And on that day, because it's an indicator. It's an indicator that there's something to learn. Does that make sense? On that day, I hated my dad for leaving. Really? I hated God for taking him. But most importantly, I hated me for not spending time with my hero, not spending time with the man I loved, wasting that many years of my life seeking money and not spending time with my hero, the guy that I wanted to be, like the most amazing, incredible human being on the planet. And, you know, if you have any level of consciousness, you know, our subconscious mind's great at doing patterns. It's great at helping you figure out how to drive and shave or put on your makeup at the same time while talking on the cell phone. And you got all these patterns running in the background you could never have without that subconscious mind. But if subconscious makes us master of patterns and conscious makes us have the ability to think, then I would say subconscious is subhuman and consciousness makes us human. If you have any level of consciousness, you know, hate is an emotion that's not going to take you in the right direction. You have to sit back and take it as a moment of, whoa, wait, let me think. Let me figure out what's really going on here. And 2019 was the worst moment of my life. I lost dad. But it was also the best moment of my life because I got to refind what I knew to be true back when I was 7 or 8 years old. I missed that many years. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's going to have problems. They're going to have moments in their lives. And those moments are going to pivot and turn their lives. The meaning you take from the moment is either going to damn your future or compel it forward. Now, I took a horrible meaning from the moment at 7 years old. It wasn't love that was the meaning of life. It was money. Now, I could have taken a better meaning. Oh, you know what? Love is still the meaning of life, but I live in a finite reality. I better find a way to not let money be my God. But if I find a way to be a great entrepreneur and control it and master it and use it as a tool and not let it control me, like, but you know, 7-year-olds don't do that, to be fair.
Right.
But I could have taken it in a better direction. Well, luckily now in my, you know, at that point 30s and now 40s, I can re-underwrite things differently. I can use that conscious mind. I can sit back and think, why am I feeling this hate? Why am I so mad? And really, I wasn't mad because my dad was gone. I wasn't mad because God took him. I was mad because I chose not to spend time with him. And I was mad because I still expected him to be here. And if you take the exact opposite of those situations, you say, okay, well, how do I change this going forward? I mean, that can be part of my purpose in helping other people. Hey, go figure out how to automate and optimize your companies. Why? So you can spend time with the families you love. The more people I help avoid that same pain I felt, the more that pain goes away for me. Does that make sense?
That is it's so powerful. You know, neuroscientists are saying now that when you're in the vibration of gratitude and love, we know those are two highest vibration. It just elevates you into the vibration of abundance, prosperity, et cetera, which is just what you said. So this is one question that I got from all over the world. What would you say to new entrepreneurs? What did they need to know? I know you said it's not about money, it's about solving problems, but what would be a couple of bullet points you would share with new entrepreneurs?
So with new entrepreneurs, right off the bat, I mean, you know, my startup,
I lost you for a second. I'm going to see if you're going to come right back. My question is, what would you do with new entrepreneurs? We're going to see what happens here. So, you know, this is live, y'all. Y'all know what time that is. And so I was asking Preston, what would you say to new entrepreneurs and maybe entrepreneurs that's been in the game for 1 or 2 years and they know that they need to make some shifts?
So, you know, let's start with the new entrepreneurs.
Okay.
One, it's possible because you got to speak a different language for everybody that's at a different phase in their development. That makes sense. And the new entrepreneurs are going to have a very different situation than the experienced entrepreneurs who are in that management by crisis phase, who are going to have very different situations than the ones that have kind of gotten their team, built their business, but now they're in a scaling phase, are going to have a different situation than the guys that have it all, that the IRS is sucking all their money on. So you got to kind of speak the language to the entrepreneur that you're talking to. So starting with kind of the new guys and gals, right off the bat, like, it is possible. Okay, it is there. Yeah, I mean, you have to know that one, it's possible. Two, you have to know that it's possible for you. And three, you have to know that it's worth doing. Like, so those are kind of the three things for anybody that's trying to figure out, how do I get in? How do I do this? The other thing I'd say, you have to know there's no right time. In other words, it's always the right time. If you are waiting for a right time, there is no right time, and it's always the right time. Like, you can figure out what resources you want to prep before you start, but if you're waiting on a time or a certain market, like, remember, Walmart grew in the highest tax environment in history, okay? Like, Standard Oil grew as a refining company when everybody said that you should go into the oil drilling business, right? Like, so figure out your resources and your resourcefulness, not just, like, worrying about timing. So that's kind of for my non-start, wanting to start guys. The guys that are starting, and frankly, also the guys that are in that non-start, a lot of times you get into something and you get into something for the money, or you get into something for the opportunity, right? Because the opportunity, we come out of these jobs that are not fulfilling, and then we see a business where the opportunity is 5x, 10x, whatever our job was in a very short amount of time if we do it well. But we're going to have an immediate problem, okay? And that immediate problem that we're not anticipating is, if it's not your passion, then you're buying into hustle culture. Ooh. Hustle culture is a lie, okay? Like, and I'm going to use a relatively, I don't want to, well, it's a true example. Hopefully it ain't vulgar. And if it is vulgar, maybe you got to work on your marriage, right? But like, if my wife comes into our bedroom, there's not one part of me that's like, oh, I better hustle. I'm passionate. I love the woman. She's amazing. She's my dream girl. Like, I don't have to think, how do I get enough energy to keep going, right? And so businesses are the same. Like, if you love what you do, it's never work. It's a labor of love. You're going to want to do it. But a lot of times, if you come out of an uncompelling job working in an uncompelling business just for money, then you're following this hustle culture, and it never works. If you hustle, you will get exhausted. If you are passionate, nothing can stop you. because then you are powered by spirit, like you are inspired, which literally the word inspired means in spirit. You are enthusiastic, enter theos. Like you start looking at some of the breakdown of those words. If you are passionate and inspired about what you're doing, regardless of the fucking money, the money comes too. Like that's a gift, but it's not a causality gift. It's an effect gift. And part of cause is passion. Does that make sense? So that's what I would tell my startups and my new guys. If you're chasing the opportunity of more money, more this, that's there. And I would highly recommend find something that you're passionate about in an area where there is a lot of money, and that's better, right? But like, if you're just going just for the money, it's a lie. You'll never get there. That's the trap.
You know, I agree with you. And I tell my female clients, I say, you're too cute to be hustling. And I said, the word hustle to me comes from a lack vibration, a fear vibration. I don't have enough. And so, you know, that's my thinking on it. Another question that a entrepreneur has is, you said on one of your social media platforms, everything is a mindset problem. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, when you say, like, I love etymology. I love breaking down words. And I think mindset, heart set, skill set are all very important. But if you think mind, heart, skill, you follow them with set. Like if I hold up my watch right here, I mean, like, it's not one of these Apple Watch things that like programs itself. I have to set that watch. If I go fly to somewhere where there's a different time zone, I have to set my watch, right? Like if you go into your home and you don't like the temperature, you have to set your thermostat. Well, you have to set your mind the same way. And if you are not setting your mind up for what you're about to do, how would you expect to do it? Like your mind is your tool. And if you are not using it, then you don't mind. And those that do mind will own you.
That is so good. You know, you also talk a lot about that entrepreneurs are here to solve problems. So when a problem comes up, instead of people saying, oh my God, I'm losing customers, what would you say to entrepreneurs about when problems show up, which they will?
So one thing I'll tell you, I mean, yes, entrepreneurs are there to solve problems. I mean, every sale is a solution to a problem, every single sale. Okay. If a customer has a problem and you provide a better solution to that problem, you sell more products than your competitor, right? So every sale is a solution, but it's not just entrepreneurs that are there to solve problems. It's everyone. Okay. Like if you are a parent, when your kid shits their diaper, that's a problem. You are there to solve it. What happens when your kid gets introduced to drugs? What happens when your kid decides to stay living at home till they're 40 years old? There's other problems throughout the process. It's not just entrepreneurs, but entrepreneurs, the reason I talk to them is they're used to the problems. I can go start them with how to go make more money, how to solve problems there. Then they start believing it. Then you start putting them, hey, you know what? Let's focus on their other parts. Like, what about that faith, that family, that fitness? Great, finance, good. You started getting rich. Well, you know what? Are you overweight? Well, you know what? How's your marriage? Well, you know what? Are you happy with where your kids are going and what they're doing? They're not going to become what you want. They're going to become what you are. So really, everybody is here to solve problems. And the biggest problem we have is we think we shouldn't have any problems. Life is about problems. And it's about coming at problems in a loving way, right? And even when they hit you and they make you feel some negative emotion, like we started with, like, hey, well, that's just a moment where like, okay, wait, stop, reset, pause. Let's go through a simple process, okay? And I'm gonna walk you through a process. And this process has literally made me filthy rich. It's made my marriage amazing, probably saved my marriage, okay? Years ago, I probably screwed it up many times. it's helping me parent my beautiful children who are loving and fun. And anybody's ever met them, they're like, why are these kids so perfect? Like, well, no, they're not perfect. They're imperfect, but they're getting what they need, which is love, okay? And the ability to solve problems. But the process is real simple. Anytime you get a negative emotion, which is what comes with a problem. When you have a problem, you're like, oh, fear or anger or whatever, right? Depression, whatever natural state you go into, that negative state, that negative emotion, there's a gift right there. It's an indicator. Stop. There's a simple process. It's 5 steps. I hope everybody that's listening writes this down. Being, becoming, believing, belonging, and blessing. Okay.
Wow.
This is 5 steps, which each have a simple process that each give a gift. So being, right off the bat, it is a time for stillness, contemplation, consciousness, understanding. Bring the problem in. Welcome it in. It's a part of your life. It's a gift from God. Let's understand it. Think about the word understand. What does it fucking mean? Well, if you understand, you stand under. You subordinate yourself to the problem. What does that mean? When the problem's coming close to you, dance with it. Don't let it step on your toes. Dance with it. The oceans are the most powerful bodies of water on earth because they have the wisdom and the humility to sit under the rivers, lakes, and streams, and thus everything then flows into them. Understand your problem. Stand under your problem. Allow it to come close. That's being. What does that give you, right? It gives you time, okay? Yes. Once you have had the time to allow it to process, to remove the fear, the immediate compulsion to action, the reaction. There's a reason pros are called pros. They pro-act. If you allow fear to guide you, you react, okay? And so when you have being and you study it, now you've learned it, you've gotten to know it. My biggest problem in my life, that's funny, punny. my biggest problem in my life is my wife. You know why?
Why?
I'm not alone. I don't understand what she's thinking. So I have to study her more and more and more. And the more I study her, strangely, it's sort of like my faith. The more I study my Bible, the more faithful I am. The more I study my wife, the more she feels loved. It's amazing. She's my biggest problem. She's also my biggest gift, right? So that was funny. The biggest problem in my wife.
That's funny.
But so after being, after you studied becoming, you've made a decision. You've decided to act. What does that do? That gives you talent. Why? Because you cannot move without measuring your movement. If you start walking and you fall, you know why you fell. You trip. Something was there. You didn't have balance. Whatever. You can measure the movement. Once you underwrite the problem and you start moving and you can measure, normally if you underwrote that problem well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to learn something. You're going to have new data. What's that going to do? Oh, well, guess what? Being, becoming, time, talent, believing. What is believing? Testimony. The reason the Bible has sold more books on than any book on the planet many times over is because of a few things. One, story. Testimony is a story. Your identity is nothing more than a makeup of the stories of who you are, who you were, who you will be, right? That's your identity. It is the prison of who you are. It's also the opportunity of who you fucking get to be. But sometimes we have to rewrite the story. And when we learn new things, being, becoming, believing, we get testimony, we get new story. What if you believed God's story for you instead of yours? Would it be more powerful? Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So being, becoming, believing, belonging, treasure. Pavlov's dogs, right? Ring the bell. Here we come for reward. When you get treasure, when you get rewarded, that's how we are conditioned. Being, becoming, believing, belonging. Treasure. I belong here. I deserve this. I have been rewarded. I am doing the right thing. Huh. And the last one, once you've gotten treasure, you don't have to stop there. You can, but you don't have to. You go to blessing. Now, blessing gives two gifts, and this one's magic. I mean, it's fucking magic. I love it so much. Truth, it gives you truth. But it also gives you an opportunity to trust, which is the hardest thing for any entrepreneur to do. So the gift of truth is being, becoming, believing, belonging, blessing. The truth is you have the blessing. And if you trust what God just gave you, that lesson, that gift, that consciousness, that learning, that thing that makes you human, that thing that makes you in the image of God, then you will trust enough to step forward. And when you step forward, you'll start serving others with that same gift that you just went through the process to learn.
Profound. You need to be in somebody's pulpit, Preston. You need to be teaching some marriage. Because that principle that you just shared is so powerful in relationships. You know, being a therapist for 30 years, everything that you were saying, I could see how couples could really use that. You know, what you said about your wife is nothing but the truth. I tell men all the time, you know, all the statistics about football, you know, who was the MVP. Learn and understand your wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if men go to understand their wives, and just as importantly, women go to understand their husbands.
Absolutely.
You know what that, like, you would cut that divorce rate from 50, 55%, wherever it is now. I know it's increasing and it was already too high. You'd cut that to next to nothing. Because, you know, what people are in this tit for tat world. And my wife and I, we've been there, so I don't judge. I don't blame. I mean, like, I honestly think blame is an acronym, right? Being lazy and making excuses. It's a freaking acronym. Like, let's not ever fall into that trap. But so I was in the tit for tat, like, you know, I met my dream girl, we got together, something went wrong. I don't know who started it, but one of us did something to annoy the other. And then we went on this like negative direction of tit for tat. Well, we ran in, and I hope everybody reads this lady's books, Alison Armstrong, amazing gal. And
what's the name of the book?
Oh gosh, there's Keys to the Kingdom if you want to understand men.
All right, got you.
Code if you want to understand women. And I mean, no, I think those things should be set up in grade school, middle school, high school. Whenever kids learn to read, they should be reading those books, because you learn how to interact with people. And you learn that, wow, you know, God in his infinite wisdom, like, he didn't make us the same. Like, men and women are more different than cats and dogs. And so, like, and then we come together. When you'll never understand your partner fully, but if you get 20%, if you just, like, when I just figured out, like, I was like, wait a minute, babe, you're not just a more curvaceous, less hairy, less muscle-toned man. And she was like, you're not just a more muscled, more hairy woman. What the hell? Like, that was like this, it was meaning.
That is so funny. So what's your take on the law of attraction? This is another question, and attracting business according to your energy or your emotions on the inside.
So I think the law of attraction is true. Right off the bat, you don't get what you want, you get what you are. Okay. And your dreams are not what you are. Your dreams are the opportunity of what you could be. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the law of attraction, I mean, it's sort of like, are you saved by grace through faith, or are you saved by works? Like, it's a paradox, right?
Yeah.
And the answer is, there is no true faith without works. And normally there's not lasting works without faith. Okay. So what's interesting about the law of attraction, and I see people do it wrong all the time. Like, I see people trying to manifest things by like just thinking about it or whatever. And that's a step. But remember, the thinking about it is just the being part.
Mm-hmm.
Being, becoming, believing, belonging, blessing. You need all five steps, right? And here's a fun paradox. You want to know how to succeed at anything?
Yeah. Tell us.
In a finite reality? Work as if you cannot trust in God. Well, at the same time, trusting in God as if you cannot work. You do those two things, it's real wonderful what happens. This is magic in the middle, and it's called the law of attraction. Because people try to law of attract just with their mind or their visioning or whatever. Well, if you are going to embody something, and God made you with a body, you better do something too. You know, you can't measure what's not moving. So if you're just thinking not moving, that's not attracting. So a lot of the people that are like woo-woo and spiritual, and look, I'm spiritual, but I'm also active. I want to embody what I believe. Believe, the word believe, I love etymology. It comes from two words, be love. Well, if I want to be love, and I truly want to be loved, not that I can be perfect every day at it. I kind of suck at it sometimes. But if I want to try, if I want to give it my best, then I need to be loved not just in my thoughts. I need to be loved in my emotions. And I need to be loved in my actions. And being love manifests love. Like, if you want somebody to be happy, smile at them. They might smile back. Mm-hmm. The likelihood that they will smile at you if you're glaring at them is very low. You know, if you want to make more money, why not be generous? You know, if you want to learn more deeply, why not teach somebody what you just learned? And it will seed in at a different level. Like, there's this giver's gain piece of reality. And that's not just the belief in the law of attraction, the manifestation that's here, but also like the channeling of it through your own action, which, I mean, enforces it, embodies it, and puts it into being. So, I mean, the law of attraction is absolutely real. Most people just miss four of the five steps.
That's so true. The entrepreneur who asked that question is in England, and he said in parentheses, I know he's going to say it's more than just sitting back and thinking. And so another question was, you talked about the platinum rule versus the golden rule in business. Expound on that for listeners. What does that mean?
Platinum rule versus the golden rule. Okay. The golden rule is just he who has the gold makes the rules. Right? Like if we had to dive into the platinum rule, it's not about, I want to try to figure out how to explain this the best way. He who has the gold makes the rules. But if I know what your gold is, that's what will truly make the rules. Because the power of influence is not what the gold is to me, but rather the gold is to you. So the platinum rule is effectively your ability to not be selfish, but rather selfless. And not selfless does not mean to put yourself last, okay? It just means to put somebody else up with you, okay? You cannot love anyone else more than you can love yourself. And you're already naturally going to love yourself at that level. But if I loved you enough, Constance, to say, hey, you know what? Here's what meets her needs. And I already know what meets my needs. Then that is a win-win deal. I can make a win-win deal with you. Like, people get so confused because there's a lot of bad information out there. And part of that bad information, I mean, preached by gurus, some of the biggest gurus, they'll go say, oh, you know, if you have conditional love, then you only love by condition, right? Which is transactional. It's horse trading. It's prostitution. They say that from stage, and not one, many, many people say that. And I have trouble with that because I do think conditional love is not as good as unconditional love. But I think it's a maturity process. Right. And I think part of that maturity process is understanding that the foundation of human connection is a transaction, okay? If I am to transact, I'm going to transfer action. And if I'm going to transfer action, I don't have to do that on a condition. Like, Constance, if you're my friend and I want to help you and I want to create some magical moment for you that's going to change your life and do something amazing, right? Then if I'm doing it conditionally, then I want something in return. But if I'm doing it unconditionally, then I don't care if I get anything in return. But there is still a transaction. So people stupidly or ignorantly, one of the two, have demonized being transactional. Yet everything they do for themselves, for others, for everyone on the planet is going to be transactional. The way you behave with your children is transactional. If you speak to them, that is a transaction. You are transferring action with your words. So to demonize the transaction, oh, you're being so transactional, is foolish. Now, there's this interesting paradox in this transactional space, right? Like, so let's say, like, do you know how to measure love? Constance, you've probably heard some of the things I've said on measuring love. Do you know the main metric in measuring love?
No.
Suffering, okay? I heard this from Bob Marley. Bob Marley said it, you can only love as much as you're willing to suffer. Mm. And I immediately clued in. I was like, oh, that's why they call it unconditional love. Holy shit, how cool.
Mm.
Go figure, a guy high as shit on weed said something more profound than maybe anybody since Jesus. Right? So when we talk about unconditional love, I love my wife beyond my conditions. If my wife were to fail our marriage, I would still love her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I love my kids beyond my conditions. I don't believe in killing, and I don't believe in dying. But I would kill for them or I would die for them. Because my conditions, I love less than my children. What does that mean? That means I love them beyond even my conditions. I would suffer for them at this incredible level for them. That's unconditional love. But this paradox of unconditional love in a finite reality as we are beings, when we're talking the platinum rule, is say I do something unconditional for you, unconditional for somebody else, unconditional for somebody else over here. And whether I expected a reciprocation or not, say you run up and you give me a hug. I might have given you $1 billion. You gave me a hug, but nobody else did anything. But guess what happened? Being, becoming, believing, belonging, treasure. I got a hug. Who do you think I'm going to do more for next time? I got rewarded. There was a treasure received in return. Not necessarily in kind, not necessarily the exact same, but there was a love exchange. So if I do something unconditional, this is the paradox, right? It starts with a line. There's a beginning and an ending, me to you. The moment you reciprocate, you turn that line into a circle. A circle has no ends. That's a relationship you sail forever. So the platinum rule is all about identifying what makes that person feel loved. What is their hot button? How do you hit it and deliver to them? And we hear it in all sorts of different things. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But here's kind of the paradox of the platinum rule, because there's givers, there's matchers, and there's takers in life, right? And it's kind of fun because people say, oh, I'm a giver. I'm not a giver. I'm incredibly generous, but I'm not a giver. I'm a taker. And I started as a taker, and I took for many years, and I mastered taking. The difference between a leader and a manipulator is very little, actually. Like a leader and a manipulator, they both use this thing called influence to get you to do something that you would not otherwise do. That's what they do. And so one loves you and the other wants something from you. That's the only difference. That's the big difference between a leader and manipulator. They both use influence, right? But as a taker, I learned how to be manipulative years ago. And as a leader, now I take responsibility. I think the greatest leaders in life are generally not the givers. They're the takers who learn that law of reciprocity, that law of being, becoming, believing, belonging, blessing. And they start taking responsibility for lifting the world up. Like, you know, everybody says, oh, Jesus came as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. You know what? BS, he came as a lion last time. You don't walk into the temple and turn over the money changers' tables because you are a lamb.
True.
You don't set yourself up for sacrifice because you are a lamb. The entrepreneurs in the world, they are givers because it comes from a place of generosity. But what's paradoxical about it is they have to learn to be takers, because they have to learn to master the transaction and creating win-win deals and the platinum rule. And what happens when they do, when they become successful, when they become what God intended them to be, when they're living his purpose and their purpose, which is what feels the absolute best in life, then they start lifting the world up. They start changing the world. They start, whether it's speaking words into other people's hearts or donating and feeding the widows and orphans, whether it's, you know, just helping somebody randomly on the street, doesn't matter what it is. Once you've met your own needs, then you can, and this is the paradox of the platinum rule and giving and the process of the transfer of action transaction. You can never give if it takes from you into perpetuity. I give of my excess. Make your cup runneth over and then give. Stop giving from what's in your cup. If you cannot feed yourself, do not worry about giving. Worry about receiving. Worry about finding a way to create win-win deals. The first person you must honor is you. The next is your family. After that, when your cup runneth over, you can bless the whole world, but do not bless the world from the resources you need to feed yourself. So there's always a paradox in these truths.
So profound. I tell you, Preston, it's amazing. How can people reach you? Are you, I know you're available for speaking after people hear this all over the world. I'm going to certainly put in the description for them to reach out to you. What is your website, contact information? Have you written a book?
I've got a book in works right now. Yes.
Okay. You got to write a book. Tell us your website, your contact information, et cetera.
Sure. Yeah. All my social medias are The Preston Brown. My website, my main website is theprestonbrown.com. And then I have a free gift for any entrepreneur that wants it.
Okay.
I've got another website we just created. I think it's www.automateyou.com.
Okay.
And there's a free masterclass on there. And it will help you figure out which stage of entrepreneurship am I in. Because every stage has a different language and different problems. Mm-hmm. And it'll give you a problem-solving formula. Full disclosure, there's some other things you can buy there. You don't need to. Okay. Those will accelerate your path. But the masterclass is the thing. It's the problem-solving formula and helps you identify where you are at today. I hope, whether you go to my social medias, please, I'd love the like. I'd love the follow. I mean, you get all this content all the time from me if you go to any of them. But I would love for every entrepreneur to not have that experience I had when I was young and missing my dad all the way till 2019. I don't want people to lose the time for what's important. Go and get that masterclass, automateyou.com. Watch that masterclass and use it. Put it into your life. You do that and you're going to get the juice and the squeeze out of this finite existence that we have. Like, everyone can be successful. Making money is a whole lot easier than you thought. And once you have enough of it, like, it's funny. There's no philanthropists out there that came from lack. They all came from having more than enough and their cup running over. And that simple masterclass will get everyone there if they just truly use those tools.
So everybody listening, I want you to go to his website right now. Take partake. Share with other folk you know who are entrepreneurs so that they can get in the vibe of who Preston is. And, you know, success leaves clues. Like he said, you won't have to go through what he went through. So give us that website one last time before we finish, Preston.
www.automateyou.com.
All right. I tell you what, you have just blown my mind today. You are so amazing. And you have a mantra that you say, let's see, what is it? You say, go and have an amazing day. Go and create an amazing day. What is that mantra?
Have an amazing day on purpose.
Have an amazing day on purpose. And you have blessed and changed the world. All of my listeners, I am so grateful. So everybody, you know what I'm saying. More in 2024, make sure you share this link with your coworkers, with your friends, with your family members, so that your life would be radically changed. And Preston Brown, for you, you are a gift to the world, and I am so grateful.
Thank you, Constance. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.